Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
You're listening to the Diener Show podcast. Check out Drew weekdays from 7 until 10 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Broadcasting live from the Papa John Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville.
All right, welcome back to The Diener Show. Mark Blankenbaker, Dave Skull.
Hello.
Here at Liquor Barn, it's an amazing place for beer, wine, and spirits. They've got cigars for Derby. They've got all sorts of bourbon that you could ever want.
Here too.
Yes, barrel artwork. They've got a great bar if you want to come up here and do tastings. It's a really amazing place for Derby season and all time. So check the event calendar, sign up for their email, and you can do that at liquorbarn.com. Joining us now, we have head coach Dan McDonald, Louisville Baseball. Coach, welcome into the Diener Show.
Thanks, guys. How you doing?
Doing wonderful. I imagine you're doing really well, having won, obviously five in a row or six in a row now, starting with the finale there at Clemson. You've been rolling, and Dave and I were talking about just the run production that you all have had over the past five games. It's been – the bats have caught fire there for you guys.
Yeah, it's been the key to the explosion. You know, we pretty much pitch good all year. You're not going to be perfect on the mound, but our starting pitching, our bullpen's been good. We've been really consistent defensively. We play good defense. You know, offensively, it's going to happen. Everybody goes through some hot stretches, cold stretches. We went through a few injuries, played some young guys, which actually turned out to be a blessing because now when everybody came back, we just seemed to be really prepared. And you said at the finale at Clemson, we locked in. And so for the last couple of weeks, man, offensively, we're really going, and production-wise, we're putting a lot of runners on base, scoring a lot of runs, and that makes it fun for your team.
Yeah, and you know, you go to Raleigh, you sweep the number two team in the country in NC State. Alex Bonellis wins ACC Player of the Week. I mean, you know, Tuesday night, he had a great game, and the entire lineup really did against Kentucky. But what has Alex been doing differently, or has he just been staying consistent? It's just finally happening for him.
Yeah, I just think as a freshman, you got to really figure some things out. You got to make adjustments. He probably benefited the most from the few injuries we had, and opened up a spot to get him on the field. And it's tough. I mean, it's really tough for freshmen making the adjustment. You know, trying to deal with being in and out of the lineup, the scouting reports, the talent of the pitchers, and he's always trusted his ability. He's a very businesslike, blue collar, consistent, hard worker, and so when he got the opportunity, he competed, and then he just felt comfortable and really locked in. He's a talented player. I mean, he's part of the number three ranked recruiting class in the country in that freshman class, and even though they're obviously all not performing like him, they have a chance. I mean, they have a chance as they grow and develop, and sooner than later, we rely on that class, as we'll lose so many guys from this year's team as we often do. So it's nice to have a couple young guys helping us now, and most of those guys will be helping us here in the near future.
And tonight you guys host number 22 Miami out there at Jim Patterson Stadium. Thursday night, weekend series. How often do you all do a Thursday night start? I always feel like you all start series on Friday.
It's a couple times a year. One is Easter weekend, so they allow both schools to mutually agree, which most of our schools in our league, I don't think all of them did, but most of the schools in our league, you know, we spoke to Miami, hey, would you guys, you know, they're the visiting team, so it's a little hard on the visiting team. Would you guys want to travel up here, play a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you guys get home Saturday night, you get to enjoy Easter with your families, and they jumped on it. So obviously we agreed, and we're going to start at 5 o'clock tonight. We think we're good with the weather, but we have some storms coming in later tonight with some chances of lightning, and that's our biggest curveball when lightning hits. We have to clear the stadium and get off the field and can't play for 30 minutes. And then by the time you crank guys up, it's 45 minutes to an hour. So just to play it safe, we're going to start at 5. We don't think the rain's coming in or lightning till hopefully after 8 or 9. And so, you know, hopefully fans can come straight from work, or if they get off early, come on over. It should be, you know, the temps are great today, and it should be beautiful up until, you know, about 9 o'clock.
Exactly. And, you know, I think if the rain holds off for you tonight, you'll have, obviously, Reed Detmers as your Friday night starter going tonight on Thursday night. He's been really phenomenal, if you don't mind me saying that. I mean, you know, you talk about 9 appearances, 94 strikeouts. That is, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that from a strikeout production.
Well, it's you know, we've been fortunate. We've had really talented arms, especially guys who throw on Friday, and it's very Brendan McKay-like. And you always got to be careful. You put somebody in the same category as arguably the greatest college baseball player ever is what they're saying. But, you know, what he's doing week in and week out on Friday night, facing the other team's number one, just been really consistent, efficient. Strikeout pitchers tend to throw a lot of pitches, but he's been so efficient, he's still given us 7+8 innings at a time, which is really nice when you start a series. But he's very humble. He's quiet about his business. He just goes about it, you know, just like I kind of described Benellis. Lots of times your great ones are great because of their maturity, their professionalism, their consistency, and again, take nothing away from his talent. It's a low 90s fastball with a big curveball, with a cutter and a changeup. So it's fun to see his growth now in his sophomore year. And Nick Bennett and Bobby Miller, and, of course, our bullpen has been really good.
Yeah, you know, the bullpen's been fantastic, and Bobby Miller and Nick Bennett have been really, really solid for you throughout the season. And we really appreciate Nick Bennett, his personality. It's kind of fun to watch, actually, when he's not pitching. You know, watching him in the dugout can be entertaining. You know, we wanted to ask you about Joey Votto. I don't know if you saw this last night. He popped up for the first time in his major league career to the first baseman. I mean, how remarkable is that?
Yeah, that is that's a crazy stat. We kind of joked in baseball. There's a couple things as a hitter you just hate. I mean, obviously you hate striking out, or you strike out and the ball hits the dirt. You got to run the first. But the one hopper back to the pitcher, where the pitcher's almost got the ball in his glove, and you haven't even gotten out of the box yet. So now you got to run to
hate
first.
That. Yep.
And the pitcher can just, you know, he can take a couple shuffles and flip it. But the fly ball to the first baseman, and when it's in foul territory, or you're not sure if it's in foul or fair, that's like one of the hitters just, it just really gets at them. And so I could see a great hitter like that. But, you know, he's a contact guy. He's a high average guy. Doesn't mean he doesn't hit home runs. But, yeah, I mean, he's been a great hitter for the Reds and in the big leagues. But that's a pretty wild stat there.
Yeah, it is really fantastic. Now, you've got about a month left, exactly, actually, a month left in the regular season before the ACC championships. Right now, you sit atop the standings there in the ACC. What do you all have to do to kind of maintain that position to get the number one seed in the ACC championship? And you know, how is that looking? You got a tough set of schedule, Florida State sort of to close. You got Indiana and Vanderbilt still left out there. And obviously this weekend series against Miami. You know, how are you feeling about this young team's development moving forward into that tough part of this season?
Well, we always have a lot of goals. We address them. We're not afraid. You know, we call it the law of attraction, and we throw it out there. We're public about it. But we also agree, once the season starts, man, let's just live in the moment, be where our feet are, take it one game at a time. I know it's kind of a, you know, you say a boring statement you hear in athletics, but we're pretty good at it with, you know, we'll hang a number in the shirt, which will be a 30. You know, we're just trying to chase the 30th win. We don't talk about weekends or series, or we really do live for one game at a time. And so, as we like to say, stick to the process. Let's just get 1% better every day. the rest of the season doesn't have to go perfect or our way. It's part of it. Let's just do our best. And, you know, when the postseason gets here, whether we're the number one seed, it really doesn't matter. The ACC tournament, there's so much parity. And then our goals are always bigger than that. So it's just about playing good baseball tonight. And this is a neat weekend. It's 90s weekend. So for those fans that have been coming, we had 70s weekend. We had 80s weekend. I mean, this is a weekend where all the songs from the hitters walking up to the plate, the in-between innings, are from the 90s. So I find joy in that because I'm not a big fan of some of the songs that our kids like to listen to in this generation. I guess I'm sounding old and cranky, but, I mean, I like hearing the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s, and I think our fans do too. So it'll be a fun weekend. Saturday is FCA Day, so Steve Wigginton and the Louisville FCA is putting on a thing, cheap $4 tickets, and they're going to meet in the left field berm an hour before the game and have some testimonials. So I mean, it's just going to be, we got to dodge some rain. Unfortunately, that's part of it. But only Miami and Florida State are our last two ACC home weekends, and Florida State's not till the middle of May. So hopefully fans can come out tonight. You've got a really good team with a lot of superstar players. I always say I just don't want fans to miss out on these great players. And Miami is also really good. You said they're top 25 and always have a lot of really good players.
They do. And, you know, real quick before I get you out of here, Tuesday night in Lexington against Kentucky, you get down into a deficit, and, you know, then you have the explosion and end up winning 18-6. You know, how did you get them to sort of steady themselves in order to just knock it down once they found themselves in that hole and, you know, and then crawl out of it in the manner in which they did was really remarkable.
Yeah, we kind of addressed it. You know, I don't necessarily like to live in the past, but I do use the past as history and learning experiences and what will repeat itself and what won't. We kind of addressed it when these guys were freshmen and sophomores a couple years ago. We beat them at our place. I just didn't think we had the right intensity when we went there, that we had to have the right mentality. And then we always talk about, you know, no judgment. Don't look at the scoreboard. Can you handle when somebody gives their best blow? And obviously they did, you know, the expression is they punched us in the mouth. They put up some runs early, but we keep going back to some of these catchphrases about be professional. And we didn't panic. You know, we knew we had a lot of baseball left to play. We didn't press. We didn't get tight. We continued to just compete. And the bats got going. And you know, midweek baseball, I don't ever want people to get too high or too down. Sometimes it gets out of hand like that. You know, you got to save your arms for the weekend games. And sometimes that happens in midweek baseball. But, yeah, credit our hitters because they were locked in. But also, you know, our pitchers, our middle relievers, young guys, Jack Perkins, Jared Pullen, Glenn Albanese, you know, all those young guys ran out there, Kerry Wright. And so that was good that, you know, not only did we score all those runs, we played flawless defense. We didn't make an error, and we pitched really well.
Well, good luck dodging the rain. I think Reed Detmers, if he give you a good shot at making some making the game fast, and hopefully you get another sweep this weekend against Miami.
Well, thanks. Like I said, we're just worried about tonight. And,
I know that.
You know, 5 o'clock. Hopefully, fans can make it over there. I'm sure we'll beat this storm, and it'll be nice, breezy, cool temps, and hopefully we can have a great showing tonight. So thanks.
All right, good luck. Coach McDonald with us here on the Diener Show. Appreciate it, and good luck this weekend. All right, so that was Coach McDonald. You know, he's, you know, Reed Detmers is unreal, okay? And, like, it's one of those things, like, we've had a lot of unreal players. Like he mentioned, Brendan McKay, had Kyle Funkhauser, had Josh Rogers now, Baltimore Orioles. Like, putting players into the pros. Reed Detmers, I mean, if you look at his numbers, obviously perfect game, or one of the baseball publications made him the mid-season pitcher of the year in college baseball. Yeah. You talk about 9 appearances and 90 strikeouts, 96 strikeouts.
94.
94, whatever it is. That's unreal. Yeah. Like, that's sickening numbers.
Considering what Nick Bennett was the last couple of years, it took – a serious jump and a serious pitcher to take that Friday night slot from him, honestly.
Right.
And I don't even want to look at it
and
as taking it.
And now he's the Sunday.
And I don't even want to look at it as taking the Friday night spot from him. We have a very strong staff.
A very strong staff.
But,
like Michael McAveen could be a starter. You know, he could be a weekend starter, I mean.
You had to expect something from him, like something special, a big jump from him this year, going from what he did in spot duty last year and midweek, a lot of midweek appearances. But he has been unreal this season. He's only really had maybe one bad start this whole year, and we still ended up winning that game. So
you got to feel really confident.
Amazing, and now the defense has been good all year, like Coach McDonald said. And now that the bats have really woken up, and some guys that we were expecting a lot out of have really taken to it. And Benellis, like Coach said, has really come into it as a freshman. He started, and it's funny. I was listening to the game. I was listening to Sean call the game the other night, and he was breaking down every time Benellis came up. He was talking about what his batting average was as of this game, and he was like, first week of March, he was batting 108. You know, he said March, 20th or something, he was batting 189. You know,
and now he's batting 325.
He's batting 325. He's like last week, midweek, he was batting like 239.
His bat is on fire.
Like, it's crazy how.
Well, I think freshmen, you know, it's like anything.
Well, it's
freshman football,
yeah.
Basketball, baseball, you know, you're seeing great pitching for the first time.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, in your career, that's not practice. And so you're stepping into the box. It just takes you a minute to sort of adjust. Alex Benellis has taken full advantage of, you know, of those at bats, 80 at bats on the year. You know, he's got 26 hits, 5 home runs, 19 RBIs, and that's been lately. Like, and then you've got other guys like Tyler Fitzgerald who've been around the block. You've got Logan Wyatt.
Dude, guys that we were expecting it out of, you know,
sure.
and others that have been nice surprises. I know at the beginning of the year, our guy Matt McGavick at the Crunch Zone.
He's been covering them all season. Yeah.
Does a great job with baseball. He's really dedicated to it. If you ever want baseball content, we've got you covered at the Crunch Zone. He talked about how the bottom of the lineup was really exceeding expectations early in the season, and the middle of the lineup was kind of static. You know, and sort of maybe not. You don't want to say disappointing, but maybe not really carrying the offensive load. And it's as of like a month ago, everything kind of changed, and everybody's carrying the load now.
Sure.
Like it's they're especially the last couple of weeks, there hasn't been a weak part of the lineup.
Well, I look at
when
guys,
you get 23 hits in a game,
sure,
everybody's eating
eating. But also, I mean, you've got guys like Danny Oriente, got Jake Snyder, Justin Levy, and those guys have been there,
guys that people know,
and they've been in clutch situations in the NCAAs and the ACC tournaments and stuff. So they've been there, they've had, you know, really important at bats in clutch situations and come through. And now you add a guy like Benellis that, I mean, he can be the future, you know, big star of the program if he continues on. And this is a hot streak for him. We'll see if he continues on. Hopefully he doesn't go back to that 108, you know, type of run. I don't think he will.
I think that's in the past.
But you never know.
Obviously you get in streaks. But
you never know in college baseball. But I'm looking forward to tonight seeing them play the Hurricanes and see what they do. I might go out there for the first four, five, six innings, depending on what I got going on. I know I can't stay till 8 o'clock or anything like that. I got something later. But I might go out there for the beginning and just see what Reed Detmers does on the mound. And the way he pitches, if I only got 2 hours to spend out there, it might be enough.
That's all you need.
It might be all I need, especially the way the bats have been going for Louisville.
It's funny. It's said a lot. It's probably overused, the term. We reload. You know, we don't rebuild.
Yeah.
But Coach McDonald truly does reload. He doesn't rebuild. And it's only a matter of time before we take that title.
I think so, too.
It's only a matter of time. I mean, he puts himself in a position to host a regional every single year, pretty much every single year, and subsequently oftentimes host a super regional.
We're going to host a regional, and I believe we'll be a national seed this year.
We're looking like after the last week.
We've got a month left, but
everybody's projecting us now. I mean, obviously there's a lot of meat left on that bone.
Right.
But right now I think the consensus we're projected is about the 6th.
So you'd be a national seed at six, and then you'd host your regional. And if you should you win your regional, then you would host the super regional.
We've
and
got the arms, we've got the defense, and now it looks like we've got the bats.
And that's been the one thing that we've been waiting on.
Yeah.
You know, to we got the fielding, we got the arms. Can we get some hot bats that are be hot? Because you know, you get into playoff baseball, and if you can't get on base. No. Like, it's going to be
tough.
You got
to produce runs.
You got to produce
runs. You
got to
manufacture runs.
Especially in college baseball.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be able to do that. And
you don't go down to Raleigh.
Together.
You don't go down to Raleigh against, at the time, the number two team in the country and put up 34 runs in a weekend series and sweep them.
What they did
you don't do that.
To the Wolfpack.
That was an announcement.
That was dirty.
That was an announcement. Everybody took notice. I mean, I saw tweets from Baseball America and every other baseball publication. Everybody was just like, all right, Louisville's back.
Yeah, 14-10, 14-10, 14-2, 6-3.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sweep that they had against NC State in Raleigh. They rallied in Raleigh. You know, that was a statement. And, you know, road wins in baseball count for so much more than home wins do. And well, you can't lose at home. Like, they don't affect your RPI as well as when you win. So, like, if you win at home it helps you. Obviously, winning doesn't hurt you. But losing at home is a big deal. And NC State lost three in a row in really flamboyant fashion. Louisville killed them.
flamboyant fashion.
And then what they did to Kentucky,
decisive.
Frankly, was flamboyant too. I mean, it was 18-6. They were dancing on their grave. I mean, it was like throwing the towel.
It was flagrant for sure.
It was. And then Mingione, how do you say his name? The Kentucky coach.
Yeah.
Like, he is like the king of slow it down, grind it out. Use the exits baseball because, like, your team's down and he's going to use every single pitcher in the bullpen.
When I went,
it's unbelievable.
We do trivia on Tuesdays. When I entered trivia, when I left the car, the game was on already, right?
Yeah.
I come out of the building 3 hours later and it's only the top of the seventh.
Because when
it was insane.
Mingione, or however you say his name, Mingione, when he knows that he's toast. He slows it down.
10 pitchers.
And he makes it – he almost makes it like, you're going to beat us fine, but I'm going to make you getting out of here like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
And so –
well, you know what? You know why? You know what happens when you do that? Nobody's left in the building but Louisville fans.
I know, and
like,
that's what
did
happened.
Did you see those pictures?
It was a bunch of Louisville fans, William Caudill from the Crunch Zone, and then some guy in an Oh Brother Where Art Thou beard. You know, and you know, I'm like, that's the only guy that's sticking with UK baseball, the Oh Brother Where Art Thou beard.
He had everything else to do. I'm not leaving early.
He had nothing else to do except for grow that beard.
I'm not leaving early.
Unless this beard grows another 8 inches, I ain't leaving.
That's right.
It's unbelievable. Like, and I know people watch that game. They know exactly what I'm talking about. That was the only guy left in scouts.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, these scouts are really dedicated
to
get there at mile per hour.
It's literally their job.
They're in Lexington. Keeneland's not open. We can't leave to go to Keeneland.
It's literally their job. I mean, they're supposed to
what happened in the eighth? What happened in the eighth inning? I don't know. I left.
I left.
Well, you're fired.
Yeah.
So they have to be there.
Got to catch that Applebee's 2-for-1 special there.
You bring up a good point. So I think, you know, they're going to play at 5 o'clock today, Jim Patterson Stadium, 90s weekend, Reed Detmers on the hill, another sterling arm. And then you said that he reloads. He really does, because every time, like, we're coming into a season and I'm thinking, okay, we just lost a McKay and a Harrison and a McKay or Rogers. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a down year. You know, we lost Will Smith, Funkhouse. Like, and then you find that Louisville baseball is in the top 10 again or top 15 or whatever, and they're blowing the doors off. And you know, they haven't been perfect this year. You know, they lost the series to Clemson. They lost Friday and Saturday, and then they lost earlier the Georgia Tech series, and they another Friday-Saturday loss, and they rallied on Sunday. But you know what? Like, this is the toughest conference in baseball, and Louisville baseball is at the very, very top of those standings. And if it continues and they can sweep or even win the series against Miami, they will retain that position, and then they'll have Florida State going in. And you know Florida State's going to be on because their coach is retiring. This is his last year.
Yeah.
He's never won a championship. And I think about him, and I think about Coach McDonald, and I sort of equate it to like Tony Bennett, Jay Wright, even Mike Smith as a jockey. Everybody said, these guys are never
going to happen.
It's going to happen. But for a while, people said, is this what these guys are? Are they just guys that are just going to get you to a regional final, or they're going to be on the best horse in the Derby and lose or whatever? Like winning championships is difficult. It's not easy to do.
No, it's not.
And Coach K knows that better than anybody, okay? Sometimes you have the best team, and you just don't win the championship.
Especially in baseball, man. We've talked about that 100 times.
We get to Omaha and fall apart.
In sports,
we look like a different team.
One game sample sizes. In baseball, pitcher can be hot.
Yep.
Bats can be hot, or they can go cold.
Yep.
One error here, one error there. Like baseball, one game can never decide. That's why it's double elimination.
One Florida State's coach is a great example of that. Sterling career, more professional baseball players than he knows what to do with. Yeah. He's put in over his career. Never won a college World Series, and that's because it's difficult. I think he probably had some really good opportunities to do it, and I don't know if this year is the best opportunity ever for him to do it. Uh-huh. But Louisville, I think with Dan McDonald, he's going to get it done.
It's all about opportunities.
Bennett got it done. Jay Wright got it done.
You keep putting yourself in position every year, like we said, to host a regional, to then subsequently host a super regional. If you put yourself in position almost every year to do that, eventually you will win a College World Series.
I mean, you do talk about some freak
things. It's all about opportunities.
Like
Tony Bennett being a number one seed how many years out of the last, being a one or two seed in the last several years. Eventually he was going to break through and make a Final Four, and eventually if you break through and make a Final Four, you're going to win a championship. For him, he did it all in 1 year.
Sure. But if you think about Coach McDonald's, his two best shots at it so far, ruined by freak home runs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
Freak home runs that, never really probably happen in those situations. It gets a birdie.
Is birdie ever going to give up a grand slam when up by 3 runs? It's never going to happen.
Fair foul one. I mean, freak things happen, but that's baseball.
Yeah.
And, without those things, does Louisville, they go to two more Omahas, I believe.
Yeah.
And in those, do they win a championship? Maybe.
Who knows? Who knows?
Well, you don't know. But when you get there, it's a different deal.
I have an important question for you.
Okay.
With 90s night coming, or 90s weekend.
Oh, man.
What is your 90s walk-up song? Because all the players, all of which were born either in the late 90s or the early 2000s. So this wasn't their generation. It's our generation. What's your walk-up song?
Do I go early 90s or do I go late
90s? That's the question.
Because, my initial thing is Return of the Mac because I just
– Well, yeah. I mean, that's the easy one. But, I mean, you can go with it if you
want to. No Diggity. It could be fun. You could even do – oh, man. Is You Can't Touch This, is that super early 90s or does that go into the 80s?
Yeah, I think it's 1991.
I might do that. Especially if I was Reed Detmers, if it was my warm up music or whatever, I use that. You can't touch this. If I'm a pitcher,
I think it was 1991. Let me check.
And This Is How We Do It has to be in there. I think that's got to be in the rotation.
Little Montel Jordan.
If you think about it, This Is How We Do It is the most socially responsible hip hop song of its generation, because
designated driver with the keys to my truck.
Yes, because of that reason alone. And there, and I always liked it when
January 13th, 1990. So it was released 13 days into the 90s.
Yes. Yes. We're in. I think there's a whole, and I want to hear what these guys do. You could also do some Nirvana. I mean, you could throw a little grunge in there.
You could. The 90s is my favorite decade of music. That's hard to say because I am a fan of all decades, honestly.
Yeah.
I have a versatile palate, but
I feel like Stephen Enoch was a baseball player and he was going to be on 90s night, it would have to be Black Hole Sun.
Mine's easy. It's Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Oh, really? Oh, Britney Spears.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, well, you wouldn't go Spice Girls or anything like that?
No.
Man.
No, I'm confident in my choice.
I wonder if any of our baseball players this weekend will choose a Spice Girls song.
They should. I mean, if you're not going to have fun with it,
Yeah.
If you're not going to have fun with it, what are we even doing here?
All right. Well, speaking of socially responsible, be responsible when you drink alcohol. But when you do drink alcohol, come to Liquor Barn. Yeah. They have everything that you could possibly ever want, from cigars for your Derby weekend. They've got beer, wine, and spirits, the finest curated bourbon selection on the planet Earth. And you know, basically, if you've got a derby party going on, if you're gonna use your annual tradition of sneaking alcohol into the derby infield, it better come from Liquor Barn. They're Kentucky owned and operated, and they are official sponsor of this station, this show, and the University of Louisville. And so, you know, support the people who support the things that you love, and that's Liquor Barn. And we're out here at the Springhurst location today. When we get done with this, you and I are gonna go shopping. And we're going to pick up some stuff for the Kentucky Derby. They've got your Derby glasses. They got Oaks Lily stuff out here. They've got the official bourbon, the Woodford Reserve bottle of the Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Derby 145. It's here in stock. And we are going to be out here for another half an hour, and then we're going to go shopping. Dave, you've been listening to The Diener Show on 93.9 and ESPN 680.
You're listening to The Diener Show podcast. Check out Drew weekdays from 7 until 10 only on ESPN 680 and online at ESPNLouisville.com.
Broadcasting live from the Papa John Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show, presented by OPC Pest Services on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back to The Diener Show, ESPN 680, 93.9 The Ville. Mark Blankenbaker, Dave Skull. We're out here at Liquor Barn. And I can't express enough just how awesome of a place it is this time of year, and really all year long. But if you go to their events calendar, they've got derby events, bottle signings, bottle engravings, tastings of new products, of existing products, and just really good discussion events on liquorbarn.com. So if you go out there, check them out, and then come into the store, they deliver to you. So if you have a party going on Derby weekend, Friday, Saturday, if you just don't have the time during your Derby preparation, if you're hosting a Derby party, order a delivery. Use promo code ESPN, and your first delivery fee is free, and they'll take care of you, you know, on that delivery, and they'll bring it to you. They'll save you time. You can also schedule it for drop-off or pick-up, and you can just pull up to the store, and they'll bring it out to your car if you know what to hit. But have it delivered. Have it to your house. Have it delivered to your Derby party. If you're at a Derby party, they're going to be open all Derby weekend, and they will deliver it to your home in the middle of your Derby party. So if you run out of bourbon, or if you need some cigars, if you need anything, they will bring it to you. Tack it onto your order, and use promo code ESPN for the first delivery that you use it to be free. So, Dave, we're going to hit some text here, but I can't. I'm really excited about this baseball game tonight because I think the weather is going to be pretty good until the storms roll in, and I'm excited about
good till the storms roll in.
That's right. So, but we have neglected the text line, so wanted to get some reaction to what we've been talking about worldwide. What we got over there?
Let's see in the text line here some songs people were recommending. Let's see, TLC, Creep, Alice in Chains, Man in the Box.
Creep was high on my list.
Man in the Box is good, though, because you're in the box. Yeah, batter's box.
It's fair.
I get it.
I like that. Yeah.
Let's see. Closing Time.
Closing Time.
That's another great one.
That'd be really good for a closer coming on.
That would be really good.
And Super Obvious.
Super Obvious.
Let's see. Juicy, Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Clearly.
Let's see this text, not music. It says U of L has two other players that are redshirting who are higher rated recruits out of high school than Benelis.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about Dan McDonald is that he recruits sometimes, you know, sometimes he doesn't redshirt guys, but sometimes like an injury, like if they're a pitcher, if you don't need that pitcher, or if his arm isn't right and they're a freshman, you shut him down, redshirt him. And I don't exactly know.
It's all about roster structure there.
Like, to be honest with you, like, I always just kind of wait to see who's going to actually perform. Because, like, even though guys are really highly rated coming out of high school, doesn't mean that they're going to be the most important players for Louisville baseball. Like, Brendan McKay, I mean, really not that highly rated. I mean, he got drafted by the Padres in super low round. Like, way, way out of the draft order. Ends up becoming
coming out of high school.
ends up being one of the most important and probably even the best college baseball player in history.
Yeah.
So
arguably the best college baseball player in history.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely one of the most decorated.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They should rename the John Olerud Award
the Brendan McKay Award,
because because John Olerud didn't win that award three times, did he?
I don't think it existed yet, there, Mark.
Hey, but did he win it? If you win it three times, you get to rename it. That's my.
Is that what it is?
That's my my stipulation. So
I like that.
What else we got, Worldwide?
Let's see this texter. Hang on. Why does UK's baseball field have a picture of two birds having relations on the outfield wall?
It's a strange thing about their logo. It's their alternate logo for the Kentucky Wildcats.
It's become super prominent lately.
And once you see the two birds having intercourse, it's hard to unsee
it. It's hard.
But it is supposed to be a cat, and it almost looks like the K-State Wildcat. But once you see it as the two birds...
Sean Moth referred to it as the staple remover.
Oh,
I like that.
That's funny. It's a bad logo.
Yeah, it's okay. Not great. I don't know any Kentucky fans that like it, honestly.
I see it everywhere, though.
Yeah, well, that's when it's kind of like when Louisville had the winged logo. Like, I didn't like it, but it was on everything.
So you had to do it. Well, also, when Kentucky and Houston played, the UH and the UK were like the same font,
exactly
the same spacing.
Yeah.
It was like, is there only one guy making fonts out there? Or, like, I'm sorry, logos out there? And then you guys are just all using the same guy? Like, come on. Like, what? Do something different. Don't steal K-State's logo and then change it into two birds having sex. Like, I know it's springtime and everything, but, like, come on. There's just
at least do a lot of awkward conversations.
There's children at this thing.
That's right.
Alrighty. Yeah. Just right
any
to
more
it. Just getting,
there,
just getting right to the point there. Let's see. Harden reminded me of a player faking an elbow to the jaw, then walking around like his teeth got knocked out.
Right. That was embarrassing.
We talked about it.
You've got to see this, Biscuit. He acted like he got his jugular cut or whatever.
Well, it sounds like he's referencing the Chris Jones thing too. I mean, it really does.
Well, Chris Jones,
which we talked about,
that was embarrassing too.
We talked about how embarrassing
the claymation was. Actually awesome. Like, of things that Kentucky fans have done to make fun of Louisville, the Chris Jones
that one.
Claymation, I really appreciate, because I hated him doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I hated him doing it, and I'm like, he deserves that. And even though we deserve it too, like, I'm all for it, because we need to stop the flopping. Stop the flop.
All right.
Let's see this text. Can Utah bounce back at home, or is the season over? We got to get Donovan another go-getter out there. The defense of the Rockets seems to shade and overload to his side every possession.
Yeah, I think, but that's how you should play Donovan and make somebody else make shots. And yeah, I think Utah will get another. I think they'll get a game. I think that it'd probably go five games, though. I don't. If they force a game six, I'll be shocked. How about that? I don't have a lot of confidence in the Jazz. This is the Houston Rockets. They're awesome. And Utah, they do need another weapon, or maybe even two, to do that. And that's the problem with Salt Lake City. It's hard to get free agents to kind of go out there.
You got
to
build your roster like the San Antonio model,
yeah.
You know, which requires a little bit of luck, but a great deal of draft. How do I put this? Really good drafts. All right, that's the small market model.
Well, they had that last year with Donovan.
Yeah,
and then.
Well, they got Rudy Gobert, who's a great piece.
Yeah.
He's arguably the best center, one of the five best centers, definitely one of the best three best centers in the league. Defensively, there's no one better. They've got some nice complementary pieces, but they need a third legitimate night-in and night-out scoring threat is what they need. Ingles is a nice piece. You know, Ricky Rubio has been good, you know.
Yeah, but he's not a consistent scorer.
No.
So they need it. So what they need is another scorer.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they need a third.
But if you're the GM of the Utah Jazz, like, how do you find that? Like, do you just offer like some crazy amount of money more than somebody's worth to get them to come there? I mean, free agents won't go to LA to play with LeBron.
Yeah, but that might be. Here's the thing:
be different next
lately, year? Like with Oklahoma City. You know, Russ stayed.
Yeah.
And Paul George ended up falling in love with the organization, and instead of everybody thinking he was a one-year rental, he ended up sticking around and signing an extension with Oklahoma City. Toronto, Kawhi might actually stay with Toronto. We know how San Antonio was able to retain their superstars for as long as they did. Dame Lillard is in Portland. I'm not sure if he's going to move on or not. Kemba Walker in Charlotte. I mean, it's one
that
of those things.
That would be wild to see Damian Lillard.
Kemba might be on the move this summer. We'll see.
Yeah. But Kemba and Donovan don't seem like a pair.
No, but I'm saying that, what I'm getting at is that small markets have been able to retain their stars a little bit more, and the shine has kind of worn off that super team situation, partially because the Lakers situation with LeBron, you know, but Durant and Klay Thompson both look like they might move on.
True.
With the Warriors, you know, that was kind of lightning in a bottle, and I don't know. KD never looks happy now. Like, something's happened with him since he left Oklahoma City. He never looks happy anymore.
But it doesn't make sense.
The body language of him and Klay is very like, they look standoffish in interviews, and they just don't look happy.
How can that's the thing?
What I'm saying is, I think you might be able to. And Utah's a unique situation, but you might be able to maybe
catch something.
Attract a third player. It's going to be tough, though. Utah, we know the racial demographic. It's a vast majority white. They've had issues with crowds in Salt Lake. It's not a 1 year. I mean, people want to address
Russell Westbrook. I mean,
that's not the only situation.
Yeah, sure.
Like I don't want to focus on the Russell Westbrook thing.
I can't get down with Russell Westbrook.
Well, people get really distracted by that one situation. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing problem in Salt Lake.
Yeah, other players have talked about it.
Yeah, they've had to address the situation on multiple occasions.
Why do you think that's the case in Salt Lake?
It's a homogenous crowd. Like, I don't know. I don't want to speak too much about it. I've never been to Salt Lake, so I really don't want to, you know, get too deep into it. But for whatever reason, even though, like, Utah's a overall reputation of being, like, a really nice place,
community. It seems like they'd be nice people, but I can't.
They have
not.
They have issues with people saying terrible things, racially insensitive things, in their arena in Salt Lake. So for whatever reason, I don't want to speak too much on it.
They gotta,
I can only speak on what I know. I've never been to Salt Lake, so I can't tell you why it happens. But it can be uncomfortable sometimes for minority players.
Sure.
So that's going to be as big of an issue as anything.
Yeah.
You know, like attracting a player there. But people want to be superstars. They want to generally play in the big markets. Super teams aren't going to form in, you know, Portland and
well, you know, in OKC they did through the draft. I mean, yeah. I think that's what you're kind of saying is that like they can do the
you have to do the vast majority of your team building through the draft. You can get
and then try to retain them.
You can get your other parts, your secondary players through free agency, but your stars are going to come through the draft in these smaller markets. It is.
Yeah, so you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see if what Utah can do in the free agent market. I don't think that they'll be able to match Houston and you know, tie up the series and make it a series. I just don't think they will. But also,
no, it's gonna be tough.
The future of Donovan Mitchell in Utah, he's got three more years there. Will he resign with the Jazz?
They love him there. He seems to love it.
But he's a New Yorker.
Yeah.
And he's going to go get that money, I think, too. And they'll pay him, I think, in Utah. But will he stay is the question.
He's going to get a max. He's going to get a max deal, and they can pay him more than anybody in free agency.
Yeah, but they can't make him a Knick.
You're right.
That's the only thing. They can pay him a max deal, but the Knicks can pay him as close to that as possible, and then they can make him a New York Knick.
Well, we'll see what the Knicks do in free agency this year next because in the draft. That's going to determine a lot of what their game plan is 2 and 3 years from now, when Donovan might actually be on the table. As far as this series right now, I have a really hard time seeing them bounce back. I mean, they were down 20 points in the first quarter last night. Stranger things have happened, but I say that it's not going farther than 6. It may be done at 5.
Right.
They'll get a game.
We got anything else, Worldwide?
Yeah, this text says Jazz need to move Donovan to point guard full-time and bring in a good scoring shooting guard. Donnie has trouble with length, and at 6'2", he's arguably the shortest two in the league.
6'3".
Yeah, 6'2", 6'3".
He's 6'3".
He's done really well. But when teams shade over to him and do what the Rockets are doing, they basically are begging somebody else other than Donovan Mitchell to beat them.
Yeah.
And if nobody steps up to the plate and Donovan has to take really bad shots, you know, then yes, the Utah Jazz will lose. And they're able to do really well. I mean, if you think about it, what they did this year, they're in the playoffs in the West. And if you're in the Western Conference and in the playoffs, like, you're a really good team, because they'd probably be what, 1 or 2, 3 in the East.
Yeah. Well, that'd probably be, because top of the East is pretty good. Yeah. The Bucks are awesome. Raptors, 76ers, all pretty good squads. I'd say that they'd be hovering around the 3 seed in the East. He's not wrong. When they moved Donnie to the point in January when Rubio was hurt. And they were really struggling, like Rudio Exum. They had a bunch of guys that were out. That's when his season really turned for the better. I mean, it was partially because his shoulder was healing, but also it gave him a chance to kind of be the engine. And he looked great distributing the ball.
Well, he did here, too.
I would have loved – and he had to go when he went. It was right. Obviously, it was the right time for him to go. But we were deprived of a season of Quentin Snyder at the off guard, because I think that Quentin would have thrived at the two.
Well, hey, Quentin was awesome when he caught and shot. Yeah. Like, whenever he shot
Quentin's
off the dribble.
Awesome now, he's crushing it in Portugal.
Oh, yeah, he is. Yeah. He's doing it excellent. But, you know, it's just weird. When he was here, if he was a set shooter receiving the ball, he was money from three.
He was unstoppable.
But he had the ball in his hand a ton. It would have been really interesting to see Donovan Mitchell run the point, Quentin be that off guard, like you mentioned, at times. Because when Quentin was injured his senior year for a time, and Donovan ran the point.
Looked great.
I think that's one of the reasons why Donovan ended up going pro, because
Quentin,
teams were able to see him do that.
I loved Quentin's game, and I think that he was unfairly criticized a lot of senior year because he had the onus on him constantly with that roster makeup and all the turmoil going on. He carried the load a lot, but sometimes he wasn't quick enough, you know, to stay in front of his man on defense, and sometimes he couldn't get around his defender when he needed to on offense. He would have really, I think, benefited from a year at the off guard and really would be able to thrive.
Gotcha. Well, that'll do it for the Diener Show. Visit Liquor Barn. We're out here at Springhurst. We're going to do some shopping here in a little bit. But, you know, the Beer, Wine, and Spirits, finest curated bourbon selection on the planet. They got everything for your derby party. They deliver
Humidor.
Promo code ESPN. They've got cigars for your derby party. If you're going out to the track, this is the place to be. If you're going to sneak in that alcohol, they've got the small bottles. They've got the plastic stuff that you need to, you know, slide underneath the false bottom of your cooler. Check it out, Liquor Barn. You've been listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680 and 92.9 The Village.